Good morning. Some very spectacular reporting in the gospel today. But one of the small things, I think in the long run, turns out to be more important than some of the things that create such amazement. I told you last week that Mark is a literary architect. He tells the story by telling the stories, and it's what stories he tells and where he tells them and how he ties them together that help make his point. As a scripture scholar wrote in an article a few years back, Mark is an interwoven tapestry. A thread, a theme appears and disappears and comes up again. You connect the two, you can see what's going on. And of course, they expected you to do that. It was read out loud, more than it was read from a book. And it was read frequently. So you heard it again and again, and your ear got attuned, and you started picking up on things that you might not have heard the first or the second or the third time. Now, one of the themes that runs throughout the whole book that we saw last week is Jesus' identity. Who is Jesus? We're told right away, Jesus is Jesus the Christ, the Son of God. And there's architecture to that. It takes them 8 chapters to figure out that he's the Christ, and another 8 to figure out that he's the Son of God, and they all tie back. Well, parallel to that is another theme that's beginning here. The theme of discipleship. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? At the end of last week's gospel, we heard the calling of the first disciples, Peter and Andrew and James and John. And they reappear here. Well, as we will find out as we go along, these guys are blockheads. Throughout the whole gospel, they never do manage to get it right. They're almost the counterfoil for discipleship, what it really is. And what it really is shown very subtly. This little story, Jesus goes after Shul, he goes back for Shabbat dinner to Peter's house. And his mother-in-law is sick. Then he cures her. And she waited on them, it says. Well, that's a problem. It masks the meaning. The word in Greek is diakonai, autois. She deaconed them. She served them. That word serve is a very important word. Hang on to it. We'll hear it again. We'll hear it at the end of the major section on discipleship that runs from chapter 8 to through chapter 10. And in chapter 10, after some very frustrating encounters with Peter and James and John, who never do get the message, Jesus tells them, listen up, guys. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And that's the next time that verb is used. From here in chapter 1, jumping up to chapter 10. And then, to be served and to give his life as a ransom for the many. To give his life. Now, jump ahead from there, 2 more chapters to chapter 10. This is the very end of the public ministry. The only thing left is the discourse on the kingdom and then the passion, death, and resurrection narratives. And the very last story told, Jesus is in the temple. And here is another woman, elderly, widow, anonymous. And she throws her 2 coins into the treasury. And Jesus says, they gave from what they could spare. She gave, normally translated, all that she had to live on. Actually, literally in Greek, what it says is her whole life. This woman serves, that woman gives her whole life. And in the middle of that arch, Jesus saying, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for the many. This is a very significant thread that will reappear in this Markan tapestry as we go along. The women just cry out to be associated with one another. How do we know that much about Peter's mother-in-law? Well, she's anonymous. We don't get her name. Obviously, she's female. She has to be a widow because she's living with her son-in-law. If you had a living husband, would you be living with your son-in-law? And obviously, she's elderly because Peter is old enough to own a fishing business. Presumably, his wife is not a whole lot younger, and this is his wife's mother. So, like the woman in chapter 12, she is female, elderly, widowed, and anonymous, all of which are tickets to nothingness in their society. It's a very patriarchal society. Women were much lower status than men. While the older men were respected, they were the elders, the older women were considered as naturally dependent. And a widow was in real trouble. As long as you were young, your father would sustain you and protect you. When you were married, that was your husband's job. After that, you were on your own. If you had a son or grandson or son-in-law who would take you in, you were lucky. If not, you were out in the street. And of course, to be anonymous, obviously, nobody. So these two women who were at the bottom of the social pecking order, only slaves and children rank lower, are the ones who understand. They get it. They know what Jesus is here for, and they imitate it. Whereas Peter and Andrew and James and John, as we will see increasingly throughout the gospel, never really do catch on. Now that makes it a lot easier to read once you see those threads and want to look for them as they come along in Mark. But it also presents something of a challenge to us. Discipleship. Well, which is it going to be? There is the fancy kind, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, who look like disciples, sound like disciples, make noise like disciples, want to be respected like disciples, and never do get the point. And then there is the real kind, like these two women, like Jesus himself. Discipleship is speak what you have heard, do what you have seen. If you are a disciple of Jesus, then be like these two disciples of Jesus. Serve and give your life. Now, what does that mean? Well, it will mean different things for different ones of us and because of our different circumstances. It can mean serving your spouse, your parents, your kids. It can mean what you do as a profession. Choose a job that makes a difference. It can mean what you do in the community and in the church. Work to alleviate poverty. Whether it's something simple like coming Friday night and serving dinner to the homeless, or something more organizational like working on our inclusive housing campaign, changing the world, changing the rules, trying to end the class warfare that permeates our society and give the poor a fair shot in a level playing field. All of those things are service. All of those things are giving your life as a ransom for the many. It's easy to miss. You read this careful, not too carefully. Sounds like Peter and Andrew and James and John are the disciples. But if you listen to it carefully, it's Peter's mother-in-law who gets the point. Be like her. Sisters and brothers, let us pray.